But I do want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And we are in chapter 23, just like Greg read for us a few minutes ago. Proverbs 23 and verses 10 and 11. These verses say, "Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their defender is strong, and he will take up their case against you." Now, what is this proverb talking about? There's really a whole theme that's going on here, and I found about three different themes that intersect, all in this overarching theme of honesty and trustworthiness and justice. So that's where we're going to be this morning in our message. And the idea that I want to convey to you this morning is that God is a God of truth and justice. And if we are going to be his followers, if we are going to be his people, then we need to be people who imitate and reflect those same character traits, those same aspects of the character of God. Need to be aspects of our character, the character in our heart, the character of our minds, of our very lives. So if we are going to be God's servants, we want to be people of truth and justice. Now, if you look down at Proverbs 23, which is where we just started, where do we see that coming in these verses? Well, if you look at verse 10, first of all, it says, "Do not move an ancient boundary stone." And you're thinking, well, what is an ancient boundary stone? And who in the world cares if I move it or not? Well, ancient boundary stones were property markers. In the same way that when you buy a house today, you have a licensed surveyor come out and he measures off the property to make sure it's exactly the amount of property you're supposed to be buying, that the lot is marked off properly. They had similar things in the ancient world, although they didn't get their little fancy tripods out with their little, I can't remember what those things are called, but you know, the surveyor tools, when they're making sure everything is exactly right, they would set up a stone that would mark, here's where one property ended and another one began. So what some people would do if they were being dishonest was they might go out and kind of take their foot and nudge that stone over a little bit so they get a couple more feet, and then wait a little while longer, you know, a couple more months, another year or two, and then they might nudge it over a little bit more. Before you know it, they've got 5 or 10 more feet on their property, and your neighbor is the one that's suffering because of that, right? So do not move an ancient boundary stone. He's talking about being honest in your business dealings, in the ways that you're relating to the person that's living beside you, that's owning property beside you, literally your neighbor, right? Not treating them, not stealing from them, being honest in those ways. Or he says, do not also encroach on the fields of the fatherless. What does it mean to be fatherless? It's someone who's an orphan, someone who doesn't live in a household, possibly without a mother or a father, but certainly without a father, who would be one of the people who would be strong and could guard against your neighbor pushing your boundary stone over more and more into your property. He would kind of go knock on the neighbor's door and be like, "Hey, I saw what you did over there. You better move that back." But if you didn't have a father, you could potentially be someone that's very vulnerable in this culture. So it's saying, don't take advantage of people who are vulnerable, people that may have no voice, that may have no strength. People that can't speak up for themselves, people that can't stand up for themselves. Don't take advantage of them. But see, recognize that you need to live a life of honesty and justice when you're relating to them. But not only that, look at verse 11. It says, "For their defender is strong, he will take up their case against you." See, you thought that because they were fatherless, they had no defender. You thought they had no one to come to their defense, but what the book of Proverbs says is that instead of a human father in their circumstance, they have a stronger father who is going to come to their defense, and it's God himself. He is their defender. He's strong, and he is going to take up the case against you, and you don't want to go to court against God because he is just, and he always wins, and he has the strength to carry out his sentence. All right, so God is the defender of the weak, of the voiceless, of the ones who have no one else to stand up for them. So if we're wrapping all of these kind of ideas together, the two terms that I thought were most helpful for us were truth and justice. Now, the Bible talks a lot about the idea of telling the truth and being honest, and that's, I thought, where may be a good place for us to start today. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 up here on the screen with me. You don't have to turn there. Normally, I preach through books of the Bible. We go consecutively through. The book of Proverbs, we have to take a thematic approach just out of necessity, because we would be here, there, and everywhere if we tried to go consecutively through these chapters. So today's message and this series in Proverbs, we do a lot more jumping around than we do normally in my preaching. That's one of the reasons that we're taking this approach, just so you're aware. Ephesians chapter 2 says, put on the new self. And this means when you become a Christian, when you're saved, there's an old self and then there's a new self. Represented in baptism, the old self, the old person dies and a new person is raised to life. That kind of idea. Put on the new self, created to be like God. You see, we're imitating God there? Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So one of the things that it means when you become a Christian is becoming a new kind of person who maybe in your old life, you had no problem with lying, with dishonesty, with misrepresenting yourself, like Ananias and Sapphira in our earlier scripture reading, right? They had no problem trying to make everybody think that they were being really, really generous. They were giving all their money from their field to the church. But God knew, and God held them accountable right there on the spot. Now, we know that's something that's unusual. We know something that's extraordinary. That's not normally happening, and I'm not saying today, either from our scripture reading earlier or right now, that if you tell a lie that God's going to strike you dead. Now, I'm not saying he might never do that in the history of the world, but it would certainly be an unusual thing. That's one of the reasons it's recorded for us in Scripture. So I'm not telling you don't lie because God might strike you dead. I'm telling you, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're called to reflect the holiness and the righteousness of God and his truthful character. So you should put off falsehood. You should make every effort to tell the truth to people. I know that some people in this world, lying comes very naturally to them. It comes very easy. You may actually catch yourself sometimes telling people things that aren't true, even when you didn't even really mean to. I know when I was in school, there was a guy, and everybody kind of knew he just liked to lie. And I mean, it wasn't really for any purpose. He would just make up stuff. And it wasn't like he was going to get in trouble. I mean, you'd be like, what kind of car do you drive? And he's really driving a Dodge. And he'd be like, yeah, I drive a Ford. And it was like no point in it. He just liked lying. And I never understood it. But I mean, some people, it just comes really naturally not to tell the truth. And that's what Paul is saying here in Ephesians, is take that old self that very naturally allowed lies and falsehood to come out and start putting that away. Put on the new self that's going to speak truthfully. And then you see at the very end there, for we are all members of one body. That's his emphasis there, is that we're a family. We don't have to lie to each other. We don't have to try to make ourselves look better in each other's eyes. We know that we are a group of needy sinners, messed up people with lives. We don't have it together. And we don't have to put on a front. We can put off falsehood and we can speak truthfully. So we're going to imitate God's character in telling the truth. And I'm going to show you in Proverbs a lot of different ways that works out in just a minute. But I wanted to make sure that you got this principle ahead of time. Let me show you one other place in the New Testament. John chapter 8. Jesus is talking about Satan. Here, Jesus is talking to some of his opponents. And here's what Jesus says to his opponents here in this instance. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, if you think about that in contrast to what we've already talked about, how God is a God of truth. Just in fact, after this verse, in verse 45, Jesus goes on to say, I'm telling you the truth, and that's why you aren't accepting me. He's telling them because they love lies. They love Satan and all of his lies and his death and destruction that he brings. He says, he's your father, but God is a God of truth. Satan is all about lies. He's the father of lies. I love the way he says it there. He's speaking his native language when he lies. That's his character. So we have this incredible contrast between the holy, pure character of God who is speaking truth. God cannot lie, the Bible even says. So when he's speaking his native language, he's speaking true things. But when Satan is speaking, his native language is to speak lies and untrue things. So when we, as followers of Jesus, and I hope you are a follower of Jesus today. I know that there may well be people who are not yet followers of Jesus. But if you are a follower of Jesus today, then our calling is to put on the character of Christ and of God, who are people who tell the truth, who live in honesty, who don't have to feel like we're always covering our tracks and making sure our lies aren't found out. Because our natural way of speaking, the things that come out of our mouths very easily, are things that are true and good and honest, and we're not falling into lies and dishonesty and all of these kinds of things. So let me show you a number of different ways that the book of Proverbs lays this out for us, okay? One of these, here's our outline for today. So the first one is, if scales could speak, then we're going to talk about a yes or no question, and then we're going to talk about how God is defender of the weak. But if scales could talk, what do we mean by that? Scales, I'm not talking about like scales on a lizard. This is talking about scales, like the way they used to weigh things. And this is actually how you would buy goods in the ancient world, is they would weigh things and they would have a certain price to them. And they would actually have, you know, like the symbol that we have for our court system, which is supposed to represent justice, is of a woman holding up a scale. And it's one of those scales that it balances like this. And if the things are equally balanced, then it stays right in the middle. If one thing's heavier than the other, it weighs it down farther. And this justice woman, I don't know if she has a name or whatever, but she's got a blindfold on, and she's holding up the scales of justice. And it's supposed to be that justice is impartial, and everything is going to come out completely equally in the end if justice is served. That's the concept of justice. But that gives you an idea of the scales that I'm kind of talking about. That the concept of justice does come in later in today's message, but I want you to see the idea of these scales, and here's what would happen. There would be a certain price for grain, for example. You would want to go buy some grain, and you would say, I want to buy 1 pound of grain, or I want to buy 5 pounds of grain. So they would put the grain on the scale, and you would pay according to how many pounds of grain you were going to buy, and the guy that was selling them, he would have these weights. He would put the amount of grain over here that he thought was about 5 pounds, and then he would take 5 1-pound weights, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds, and then he might say, well, we need a little more grain, or we need to take a little grain off, and that's going to balance out, and it's going to equal 5 pounds, and then you pay for 5 pounds of grain. But here's what some of the merchants would do in the ancient world, is that they would take their weights. And they didn't use pounds, you understand, but they had their own way of measuring. But I'm just giving you in a way you can understand. They would take their weights, and they would maybe shave off a little bit of the weight here. So it wasn't quite 1 pound. Maybe it was like 5% or 10% less of the weight than actually should have been. Just enough so that if you picked it up and felt it, it would still feel like it was a 1 pound weight, and you may not have any way of testing that out. But when you went to buy 5 pounds of grain, they would actually have about 4.5 pounds of weight on one side, and he'd put 5 pounds of grain, and they would be like, oh, this is too much. I'm giving you too much grain. I've got to take some more off. So you would pay for 5 pounds of grain, but you would only get 4.5. Now, it doesn't seem, when you're talking about scales on that size, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Like, okay, only 0.5 pound of grain, not that big of a deal. But here's the thing. If a merchant is selling all day long, at the end of the day, he's got 5 or 10% more money than he should have had for the amount of grain that he had. And you know what it means is that all the people that bought from him are 5 and 10% less. And day after day, this really, really starts to add up. He's, in effect, he's stealing from the people that are buying from him. He's misrepresenting what he's selling. So they've got to buy a lot more of it. So if scales could speak, this is the idea. If the scale could say, wait, hold up a minute. That's not a real 1 pound weight. That's only like 0.95 per pounds of weight over here. So like I said, sounds like not a big deal. And that's one of the ways that a lot of people would excuse it. They'd be like, look, it's not that much. It's just a few grains of rice. It's just a few heads of wheat that they're being shortchanged. And, you know, it costs me a lot of money to go harvest this stuff and get it into town. I ought to be able to take a little bit extra off the top if I need to, if that's, you know, people could justify it in all kinds of different ways. But here's what the book of Proverbs has to say about that. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. So this is a picture of God actually going to sell something at the market, and he's got his own set of weights that he's bringing with him, and he's made sure that they are exactly the right weight that they are supposed to be. He is not going to take advantage of anybody. He's not going to be dishonest. He's going to make sure people get exactly what they should get. And this is the principle here of balanced scales. You would be amazed at how much this topic comes up in the book of Proverbs. There are at least 10 or 15 different verses of Proverbs that are just talking about having scales that are equally weighted. Let me show you a couple more. Proverbs 11:1. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. You know what the word detest means? It's he hates, he abhors dishonest scales. And you've got the merchant there, and he's like, well, this isn't that big of a deal. It's just a little bit extra that I'm getting for this product that I'm selling. But the book of Proverbs says God hates it when you take advantage of people like that. He says you need to be honest in your business ethics, in the ways that you're carrying out everyday transactions. You need to be upfront and honest. Here's another one in chapter 20, verse 10. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Let me show you a couple other examples. Proverbs 10:2. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. And here's the principle here. You take the guy that's been scalping 5, 10% extra money coming in from his business dealings. That's what's called ill-gotten gain in the book of Proverbs. Ill-gotten treasures. It means he's obtained extra money through no real effort on his own. That's called ill-gotten gain. And it says they have no lasting value, but it says, but righteousness delivers from death. So the idea is that all that extra money that's coming in from your dishonest dealings, it's going to things that moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, and it's wearing away and it's not lasting. But if you had chosen the other path of righteousness, of honest dealings, that is building up an inheritance that is never going to perish or fade or rust or mold or any of those things. It's an inheritance of righteousness, and it delivers from death. So when the next time you're tempted to take advantage of somebody, sometimes in what you feel like is a very simple way, oh, it's not that big of a deal, remember that there is a much higher payout from righteousness, from honest living, from having honest scales than there is from whatever few pennies or dollars you may make taking advantage of other people. Let me give you one or two other examples. Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So you get all that extra money dishonestly, and it's just going to, you're not even going to know, but it's just going to be like dust in the wind. It's just fading away. You don't even realize where it's going. But if you're honestly working, saving up money little by little, you're watching your accounts grow over time because you're dealing honestly, and God is blessing that. That's the idea behind that. Proverbs 13, Proverbs 11:26. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. This has more to do with business dealings and the way you conduct yourself. And don't hoard the grain when people need it. They want to buy it. Maybe there's a drought or famine in the land. Don't hoard it all for yourself. People get mad at you when you do that. Be willing to sell and share. That's the idea there. Just of honest, practical, everyday ways of doing business that are reflecting God's character, his honesty, his care for people who are in need, all these kinds of things. Here's what, this one's pretty funny. Proverbs 20:14. It's no good, says the buyer, then goes off and boasts about his purchase. You know, you're negotiating with somebody. We're trying to get Sarah a new vehicle. Hers is a 2002 with 190,000 miles on it. So it's time, you know. And man, dealing with car salesmen, it's something else. And I'll walk in, and we found a few that we were like kind of interested in. I'll walk in and I'll be like, look, here's how much I'll pay you for it. And they don't get me because I'm like, take it or leave it. I'm like, I'm telling you what I'll pay you for it. I'm not negotiating. I'm not like lowballing you. I'm like, okay, if you'll sell it to me for this, I'll buy it. If not, I'm going to leave, and don't keep calling me, asking me if I'll like keep coming down on your price. But here's what it's like, the way you negotiate, they start off at a high price and you say, they're like $20, and you're like, no, I'll only pay you 10. And then they're like, well, how about 18? And you're like, no, I'll only pay you 12. And then they're like, okay, 15. And you're like, okay, deal. But that's way too much. I shouldn't ever pay you $15. But I'm okay, I'll go ahead and do it because I really need it. And then the guy leaves and goes home and talks to his friends. And he's like, ah, I got this for $15. Can you believe that idiot sold it to me for that? That's the idea there. It's like you're taking advantage. You're pushing, trying to get stuff for less than you should. Now, I'm not saying don't try to get fair prices on all that stuff and don't negotiate, but there's a fair way to go about those kinds of things and not. And my sense is that the Holy Spirit through conviction and through your conscience, you have a sense when you're crossing that line and that border, and the book of Proverbs is telling us to be careful about all of those things. So first of all, if scales could speak, be honest with scales in your business dealings and in everyday life, but also let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let me give you an example of that. This is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't feel like you need to swear or confirm your words. Just be someone who's so truthful that all you got to say is yes or no, and people know that's exactly what you mean. Here's what Proverbs 12:20 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. And why is that? Because we're reflecting his character and his glory to the world when we are honest. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 12, verses 17 and 19. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. And you think, well, thank you, Captain Obvious. We know that, right? But the idea here is the virtue in being an honest witness telling the truth. It's speaking well of an honest witness who tells the truth with a negative connotation of a false witness that tells lies. So don't be the false witness who tells lies. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. So a number of different reasons. I'll skip that one just for time's sake. Here's another one, Proverbs 19. A corrupt witness mocks at justice. The mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. So a corrupt witness and a witness in court who's not telling the truth, he's going into court and he's lying. He's mocking justice. He doesn't care if justice is done. He just wants things to turn out to his advantage. The mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. So don't be involved in either one of those. Here's a great passage from Proverbs 30. Look at this one with me. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. So keep lies and falsehood. Keep that away from me. If I could ask two things of God, allow me to be an honest person and give me my daily bread. Does that sound familiar to you? Sounds like the Lord's Prayer, right? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us, right? And really what we've seen through this book of Proverbs, through this series and these themes are again and again, we're seeing an Old Testament example of what Jesus taught in that Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapters 5-7. It's a lot of times what people mean when they talk about the ethical teachings of Jesus. For example, we talked about the need to remain pure sexually, and Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount about avoiding adultery. We've talked about honesty and lying, and Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. The book of Proverbs says, be content with what God has given you. Come by it honestly and give thanks for it. And the same thing the book of Proverbs says, we see in the Sermon on the Mount. So all of these different things that we're seeing Jesus teach in the New Testament are the same things that we're seeing back in the book of Proverbs about being working hard for your money and saving up, not spending, not going into debt. All of these kind of things we're seeing reflected in both places. So what the book of Proverbs is really doing is calling us to the same kind of character that Jesus has called us to, which in turn is the same kind of character that Jesus possesses. Jesus doesn't call us to anything ourselves that he hasn't lived out before. Let me give you one more area that we see this in the Defender of the Weak. So with honesty comes the idea of court, and the wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice. So when we're being dishonest, what happens is unfairness is everywhere in a dishonest culture. And it's, the courts of justice are perverted. The wicked are accepting bribes in secret. Justice is not being done because of this dishonesty. Our key verse for today, Proverbs 23:10 and 11, talks about do not move the ancient boundary stone or encroach the fields of the fatherless, for their defender is strong. So be honest. Don't take advantage of people who have no voice. In fact, it may come a time when you need to speak up for people who have no voice. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. The widow is another vulnerable social group in this culture. So God is setting that boundary stone, and he's not letting it be moved. When somebody tries to move it, he is planting it firmly in the ground. God is standing up for the vulnerable, those that have no voice for themselves, and that's what we mean when we talk about justice. And when we talk about that in our culture, that means standing up for issues like abortion, where unborn children have no voice to speak for themselves, but the church has an opportunity to say, we need to stand for life. It means standing up in areas like human trafficking, where people are kidnapped and traded and sold in many parts of the world, and even some here in our own country, by educating ourselves and by advocating for laws to be passed that can put major roadblocks in the way of people that would act in these kind of evil ways, human trafficking, in orphan care, by some of our own church members becoming involved in foster care, in adoption, speaking up for those who have no voice, speaking up for people who are immigrants, who may be persecuted by many in our culture, by people who are refugees. The Southern Baptist Convention last week spoke up for refugees and people who are in our country and need people to care for them and love them. And that's not making a political statement about who should be let in and out of our country. Our country has to set immigration policy. We understand those things. But when people are here, we care for them as human beings, as people that God loves, who we have the opportunity to even share the gospel with. All of these ways that we need to speak up for people in ways of justice, making sure that honesty is coming out of our mouths, that business dealings are being conducted in the way that they should. All of these give us different ways that we can reflect the very character of God. You know, it's a good thing that God looked out for the helpless, the needy, because that's where you and I were. We had no voice. In fact, the book of Ephesians says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive in Christ. He sent his own son to pay the price that we couldn't pay. We owed a debt we couldn't owe. We couldn't pay. And God sent his very own son to pay that price for us. We were desperate. We had no voice. We had no power. We had no strength. And God rescued us. And how incredible it would be in this life if we have the opportunity to do the same thing for others in small measure and then point them to the same way that God has done that for them, leading them to Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this calling on our lives to be people who speak the truth, who speak honestly, who carry out business dealings with integrity, who speak up for those people who have no voice and no strength, politically speaking, socially speaking. God, help us to be the kind of people who reflect the love and care that you have for us and for all people. Help us to do that as well. God, you have given us a great calling in this life. It's a great responsibility, but it's a great privilege as well. So help others to see Christ in us as we make every effort to live out the principles in your word that you have called us to today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.